quid pro quo, something for something, tit for tat. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, favor for favor, give and take. I think the first time that I took notice of this phrase, quid pro quo, was when I saw the creepy movie Silence of the Lambs. That definitely did not illustrate an equal exchange. If it were a perfect world, quid pro quo might work, but I think it rarely does. Value is placed in unequal places, and imperfect humans plod along, often letting our lesser natures guide us to unequal outcomes. Jesus was a keen observer of human nature, the lesser and the greater. And in our gospel today, he uses a dinner party as an opportunity to illustrate a radical departure from quid pro quo. His idea of justice, mercy, and love given for free. A Pharisee has invited Jesus to his house for dinner, which is a huge honor in those days. Maybe in return, the religious leader was hoping to glean some information about this curiosity, to find out what the sensation was all about. Is Jesus a prophet or a phony? Will he be useful or dangerous? Will the Pharisee get something for something? We know everyone else was curious about Jesus too as they watched him before the dinner started. No one expected the unusual dinner guest who eats with sinners, breaks the law by healing on the Sabbath, has no job, no wife, and wanders around teaching to launch into a didactic presentation over cocktails. But then no one can ever really expect the norm from Jesus. In those days, dining with friends came complete with a kind of caste system in which there were degrees of honor represented by your placement at the table. Not a lot has changed, I suppose, because the same thing happens in society today at state dinners or royal dinners or even at wedding receptions. My dad, the consummate wedding critic, chimed in a few years ago when we were sat in the back of a reception hall at a family friend's wedding. And he said, we're just one step away from being in the parking lot. Now, if he had cared, he might have been insulted, but instead, we just got a big laugh out of it. But at this soiree with Jesus, table placement was no laughing matter. Honor equaled status, and anything else equaled shame. The Roman government that occupied Jesus' homeland was set up kind of like a pyramid of power because all the power and money was at the top. And the poor and insignificant people made up the bottom. Now, if you were close to power, you could possibly move up the pyramid. But if you did, certainly somebody else would get squeezed out and squeezed down. Jesus observes the guests scrambling for a spot close to the head of the table to play this game of favor for favor. But Jesus has some news for the party guests. He doesn't really buy into this quid pro quo thing that is all about measuring and balancing and assigning value to things that he believes don't really matter. The things that do matter are impossible to quantify. Is it really possible to calculate the repayment of love? How much does justice cost? How do we measure mercy? So Jesus suggests to the crowd of people desperate to increase their social capital that they should rethink everything. Status is not important. Repayment is not important. Quid pro quo is not important. Inclusion, mercy, love, that's important. Invite people to dinner that don't even have the possibility to pay you back. Don't invest your spiritual lives expecting to get a return. Our modern world offers similar social and economic challenges, right? Although the founders of our democracy wanted to make things fair, we all know that that's not quite the case. We still live in a pyramid-type society, and this tends to sometimes bleed into our faith lives. Theologian Caroline Lewis says, if we insist our faith, our salvation, is dependent upon an equal rate of exchange between God and us, then we need to ask ourselves, in what kind of God do we believe? What happens if we don't measure up? And what makes us think that we can assume certain systems to quantify the grace of God? That relationship with God is dependent on a nearsighted notion that God works within the world's insistence on agreements and bargains, transferences and contingencies, a quid pro quo relationship rather than a relationship made possible by the unmerited, unearned, unwarranted, undeserved love of God. Our gospel today illustrates the reality of our world that wants to measure everything and considers the fair outcome the one with the biggest bonus. But that is completely the opposite of what Jesus tells us to do. I've joked before that I always seem to preach the same sermon. The kingdom of God is justice, mercy, and love. Why do I keep saying the same thing over and over again? Because Jesus says the same thing over and over again in the Gospels. And today is yet another example of Jesus trying to get this message to the people that followed him, that were interested in him, that worshiped him, that loved him, and despised him. Justice, mercy, and love. This message makes us feel a little uncomfortable, then maybe we need to get to the bottom of why. Do we feel guilty because we don't do enough? Do we feel that we don't want the status quo to change? Do we feel that it will never change, so why should we even try? Jesus doesn't really accept any of those excuses because he did not assume humanity and live and die for us to be tucked away comfortably on our own island of privilege. Jesus came to shake things up, to make us think, to make us uncomfortable with what is and look to what should be. He didn't come to measure us to see if we deserve his love. He gave it with no strings attached, knowing that we could never repay him for his life. He came to flatten out the pyramid into a table that we all sit around and share the grace and goodness of God's love. Since Jesus asks only for a relationship with us and not for repayment for the invaluable gift of salvation given to us, he encourages us to then pay it forward. He envisions a world in which we naturally and out of love reach beyond our circles of privilege and invite into our midst the ignored and overlooked, the misunderstood, people like immigrants or people of color, transgender and queer folk, the homeless, the mentally ill, the poor. He wants this for us, not just for others' sake, but for our own sakes, because God's grace is circular. It's giving and receiving and giving and receiving and so on. In just a few minutes, we'll come to God's table where we are all welcome. The place of honor is the body and blood of Jesus. But we all have the opportunity to equally participate in this holy sacrament. Each one of us will have the most intimate access to Christ, not just the rich and famous. And as we receive communion today at this holy table, and solidarity with all of God's children. May we be inspired to make room at our own tables for those that will never be able to repay us. Amen.